This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at cincinnatiopen.com.
The Racing Pod.
Looking ahead to this year's Galway races? Then don't miss The Racing Pod live with Off the Ball. Join me, John Duggan and Johnny Ward, alongside special guests Joe Canning, Barry Geraghty and Paul Nolan for an afternoon of racing insight, expert tips and plenty of crack. We'll be live from Mary Mullins Pub on Tuesday, July the 28th, previewing all the big action from Ballybrit with thanks to William Hill. Tickets are on sale now at offtheball.com/events. The Racing Pod live, July the 28th at Mary Mullins Pub. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Off the Ball.
Hurling on Off the Ball.
With Apple Green, making every journey a winning one.
This is News Talk.
This is Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you 3 to 5. The Saturday panel this week on Off the Ball, brought to you by Apple Green. Coffee, food and friendly faces with you on the journey to Croker this Sunday. It is now time for our All-Ireland Senior Hurling Final preview. So at 3.30 tomorrow, referee Colm Lyons will throw in the slitter for the decider between Limerick and Galway. To look ahead over the next hour, delighted to have in studio in the maroon and white corner, Galway's 2017 All-Ireland winning skipper David Burke. In the green and white corner, we've got the three-time All-Ireland winning forward with Limerick, Pat Ryan. And in the new neutral corner is Tipperary's 2010 All-Ireland winning captain Owen Kelly. Owen, Pat and David, you're very welcome to the studio.
Hi John, good to be here.
Thanks John.
What's the week been like, David, in Galway?
Yeah, it's been first year out of the loop or in the bubble. It's been unbelievable, I suppose, Galway getting to All-Ireland, and as a supporter now you can take in all the razzmatazz and the build up, and it's been unbelievable since Monday, I suppose, with the squeeze of the 2 weeks. But just getting the, you know, the clubs and the young lads and the colour and all that kind of stuff, it's great, and the build up has been mighty. So really looking forward to tomorrow now.
I bet you probably miss it at a certain moment. We wish you're out there.
I don't really know. Like a semi final, I was there, and geez, it was just unbelievable. Like the atmosphere after the final whistle went. And I'm saying, like, geez, you're playing for most of your life, and you're like, is this what the supporters? It was brilliant, like, for me. And when I was, like, all said and done, I was like, I left everything out there for the maroon jersey. So I was just so happy that the boys got over the Leinster final, got the win, especially that middle group of lads that are in their mid-20s. And obviously then, you know, no one would have foreseen that win the last day against Cork. Like, do you know what I mean? We were going up hoping we put in a good performance and see where it bring us, but don't always mind that we could just put Cork away like that, and hopefully we can do the same now tomorrow.
St Thomas, is your club is buzzing, I'd say.
Yeah, no, it's great. Like, there's great out there training during the week. Tuesday night there was cameras kind of going around the county to different clubs and getting clips of the young lads training, so it was a huge buzz. And I suppose when all the boys will say the same, when you're in the bubble of playing in these games and the build up, you kind of shield yourself a little bit from all that. But what you see then when you're there and you see what it means to everyone in the club, and the buzz for the tickets and the build up, and you're going up Saturday night, all that kind of crack. So really exciting week, and I was on cloud nine, really. Yeah,
what's Doon been like this week, Pat?
Yeah, a heave of excitement, really. The tickets were only actually handed out this morning. There was such a big ticket allocation. That.
And is that done like digitally now, or is it?
No, that's all printouts below in the clubhouse.
Right.
People had to come down between 9 and 11 this morning. If you weren't down, your tickets were going to be gone. Because Doon have such a big allocation to put in for it, they actually have to wait and try and get more back, if any, come back in around the county to facilitate everyone. So obviously when you have a couple of fellas involved in the panel as well, you know, between Dara, Adam and Eddie, I think it adds to the excitement of the whole thing as well. And even in Limerick, we've kind of seen all sides of it over the last 8 years. In 18, we hadn't been in a final in so long, or won a final in nearly 50 years. Then in the four in a row, you get kind of used to it. But now it's an incredible buzz now, because we know what it's like to be there. We miss it so much in the small, it sounds like a small gap of 3 years, but it feels huge when you have such a good team. So it's massive. This feels like, not that it feels like the last ever one, but it feels like a really, really special one, because, like I said, when you have such a good team and you haven't been there in 3 years, it feels like we have to make the most of this now.
I was down at one of the Munster finals against Clare the last few years, and my mother was from Limerick and my father was from Clare. And I was just going walking through Limerick City, where I spent most of my childhood. It's like Italian 90. But it just, the connection with the people in this Limerick, the hurling team, has fostered over the last decade has been unbelievable.
Yeah, it is huge. And I don't think people even realise Limerick was always a hurling county. It's known as a sporting county, which it is. Like, even in the city, like, there's west, the west of Limerick would be heavily football, you know, down on the border of Kerry, huge football. There's pockets, obviously, of great rugby. It's the home of Munster rugby. In the city, soccer is huge in the city as well. But overall, everyone combined, everyone together, city, county, it's a hurling county. And it's a massive hurling county, and it's there's huge excitement there this week. Honestly, like, the colour that's been put up now again, it's just fantastic. And I think back to, like I said, in 18, when we had the type of homecoming we have, I could see something like that, please God, if we get over the line. Because like that, people have seen it, know what it's like. And then, of course, like, you know, I got 20 texts for tickets this week. Like, it's crazy, you know. So it's, no, it's just...
Did you reply to any of those texts?
Very few.
Oh, and Kenny, are you giving back tickets from Mullinhown, are you?
No, we're not. We've a part to play in this All-Ireland as well, John. So we do the Jubilee team 2001. So we had five represented. Well, it's nice to hear how special it is for the club, like, you know, Doon and St. Thomas's. And I remember back to 2001 when we were lucky enough, we had five representatives from Mullinhown that day, and Tip hadn't won All-Ireland since 1991, 10 years before that, like. But even to listen to Pat there now, the hunger and the enthusiasm with Limerick, it's amazing. Like, you know, you can see the excitement after winning the All-Ireland semi-final the last day. It was like they were in their first All-Ireland, like. So, you know, I think you have two teams more that are coming with that nearly starvation for an All-Ireland. When you think of all Limerick's success, it's crazy, really. But look, All-Ireland final day, the boys mentioned in there, it's special. I was lucky enough to be involved in five of them. Five as a player, one on the management side of things, 1-3, drew one, and we lost two. So I've experienced all sides of it, but it's a day that can live long in the memory. And then there's days where you just have those moments that you can flash back to. And for me, I suppose 2014, when Bubbles' Hawkeye decision, like, you know, I was only off the bench that day, and I didn't even know that there was maybe... It was the last play. I didn't know. I thought it was a couple of minutes left. And I say I forgot a euro for every time someone said to me, you should have taken that free. I don't think I'll be here today.
Hawkeye would have been given, I'd say. Don't
yeah, no, mean. There was a roar behind the Devon stand, actually. You could hear the roar going up, and you thought it was over. But I was amazed then when the ball was poked out and the ref, Barry Kelly, blew it up, final whistle. So it just tells you, coming on as a sub sometimes, you know, you don't even know where you are in the game. Like, you know, at that stage of a game, the last 8 or 9 minutes, and now with injury time, 4 or 5 minutes, sometimes it does take on that life of its own, like, and positions and that go out the window. And I'm sure the management team will have teased all this out, and one or two of those decisions can be crucial. A bit like, I suppose, Groat Hegarty did the Munster final. Went inside, full forward, won a couple of balls, one or two breaks, Limerick win by a point. Like, and they're the big moments.
The Jubilee team, then, you were 19 in 2001. You're all meeting tomorrow. You're going to be obviously cheered by the Croke Park crowd before the senior final. I mean, would you lose touch with your colleagues, your former teammates? Would you be still close to many of them? Obviously, your brother Paul. It's just a lovely thing to do, isn't it, for the GA?
No, it really is. It is special. And again, like, you know, it's nice and relaxed. It's nice and easy going. That's the way Tipperary are approaching it. We're meeting up tonight. We'll meet up, have a bite to eat, a couple of drinks, reminisce. Few stories, meet tomorrow, go in together. And I suppose it's just recognising the achievement and I suppose the time and effort that you put into it. And even you're getting some lovely texts from Tipperary supporters saying it brings back fond memories, you know, and that's 25 years ago. Like, I got a few beautiful texts, like, just remembering back. And I suppose I was 19, Larry Carver was 20, we were on the team, John O'Brien was on the subs, he was only 19. So it's similar to Aaron Nyland, Jason Rabbit, those kind of players, your first All-Ireland. And, you know, you think, oh, this is great, we won it, we won the league, the Munster and the All-Ireland that year. This is great. This is going to happen every year. And we didn't get back to an All-Ireland until about 8, 9 years later, 2009. So you can't take the day for granted. You know, it's a very special day, but you can't play the occasion either. You know, you have to be totally tuned in and focused on the game, which I'm sure the Galway boys will be.
Does it help being 19? Like, for Jason Rabbit for tomorrow, that,
do you know something?
You're so young that you're not thinking about it.
I was thinking about, and if you ask me what was your year like back then, it was fun, it was enjoyable, and for the want of a better word, it was a laugh. That's the way we approached it. It was like you're not an integral part of the team, but you're part of the team, and you're not doing any of the talking, you're enjoying it all. Like, I even remember the night before we played Wexford in the semi-final, myself and Aaron Corbett said we'd tear off to the shop, the hurling ball, and we ended up in Lansdowne Road, jumped the wall, in we went, and we're pucking up and down inside in Lansdowne Road. Nobody said anything to us. There was no one there. We poked away for half an hour, jumped the wall, back into the hotel. So that just tells you
how many sweaters did you bring?
One, that's all we needed. Our touches were good, but it just tells you the carefree attitude you had, where maybe there's older guys worked up inside in the hotel maybe and trying to get a bit of sleep. Now this is early in the evening, like, but it's a lovely time. It's a lovely time of your life, and it's a lovely experience. And look, for young guys like that, I hope it goes well from tomorrow.
Wouldn't be able to do it now.
Not a chance.
That's the great thing about 25 years ago. 0879 180 180, the WhatsApp number for any comments or questions, or any shout outs to Owen Kelly, Pat Ryan and David Burke, our hurling panel here on Off the Ball ahead of the Limerick and Galway game tomorrow. So preparations, Pat, like, things you got right when you're looking back at the All-Ireland finals you're involved in. Remember the semi-final goal against Cork, and then the 2020-2021. When you look back, were the things, yeah, we got that right. I got that right myself in my preparation.
Yeah, well, we're very lucky, I suppose, and people always ask questions about Caroline Currer. That's where she comes into effect. When, I suppose, she brings you in at the start of the year and places so much emphasis and importance on routine, and, you know, getting your routine right. And why it's so important in, we'll say, a pre-season game, is that when you get to occasions like this, the idea is you've already got your routine for the league games, pre-season games, league games, round robin games, Munster finals. So there's no, you know, you don't need to double think anything or overthink it. You're like, this is what I do the week of every game. And there's almost no excuse. And the boys will tell you, we've all played with players where they'll have a bad game and they'll say, see that hurley now, and throwing that out over the fence. Do you know what I mean? They blame the hurley, or they blame what they done the night before. Someone like her role there now in the modern thing, people are always asking about it, is to eliminate that.
Because it's a bit of a mystery. What does she do?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's getting nearly overplayed now at this stage. You know what I mean? She's there for a couple of people. She does a lot of work with John as such. You know what, yes, I mean? Because John has to manage 55 people. You know, who manages John?
I read this thing, 63 conversations or something.
He had after the
final, or the defeat to Dublin last year.
Yeah, yeah. And one-to-one, from a player's point of view, I don't know about the lads, when you do get a one-to-one with a manager, it's a big thing. You know what I mean? You feel important, you feel valued. They didn't go on every year now. I remember 2018, he conducted them earlier in the year as well, and it didn't happen for a couple of years after. So I think it's something maybe he went back on and said, I actually need to hear from everybody here. You know, because I remember 2018, everyone had a one-to-one with him, and you met him, and some of the stuff he was saying to you was like, look, one of the first questions he posed was, if this was your last ever year to play hurling, how would you approach the year? Do you know why? That's him sitting down with you, and someone like me, say, as such, that hadn't played much the year before in 2017, couldn't make 26 the year before in 2016, and, you know, you felt 10 foot tall and coming out in that you got, you know, he, his plans kind of thing, whereas he's meeting everyone. So it's a tough job as a manager to meet that many people, and I think people are always asking, what does Caroline do with the players? She has such an important role then with management as well. You know, because who manages John if John has to look after everyone? And I do think, I know you didn't even ask about Caroline, but it's probably coming. People always ask about her, but I think the fact that she's a female is a big help. You know, Owen will testify to her, you know, she was there in 2010 when day one as well. That I don't know why, I can't really explain that, but I just think in a male dominated area where you have 55 males maybe on the bus, it helps to have a female lead, you know, kind of a motherly figure and someone to give you advice and talk to you. And some players use it more than others. I know some players that are playing on Sunday that have never really used her as much, and I know a fellow like Roald Hegarty, who places an awful lot of importance on her going back over the years, that he would, you know, he would love
a sounding board.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I know, yeah. How to, like, you know, get little tips here and there. But in terms of preparation, our preparation, we always felt it was good like that. And then it's only when you lose in that the preparation was wrong, if you know what I mean. So in 2019, Everton went through a fine tooth comb to say, what did we do wrong? Right, that was wrong, let's change that. When you win, then you don't change anything. So it can be very small margins sometimes, but that's one thing Limerick have maybe in a small advantage, is that they're so used to being in finals that you'd imagine that all the players would be comfortable this week, and they'd have their routines down, whereas the Galway lads, it is quite new to a lot of them. But then, of course, you have the Owen stuff from 2001, where you can have the green shoots, you can have the, you know, the exuberance and the maybe to cut loose when you're a young fly, you know.
On this show, as entrepreneurs, we often talk about the courage it takes to start something from scratch. Every successful brand begins with a vision, a purpose, and someone willing to take a chance on an idea. And while every founder's journey is different, many share the same determination to overcome obstacles, innovate, and build something meaningful from the ground up. That's why I always enjoy hearing founder stories, because behind every product is a real person who has invested time, energy, and passion into building something meaningful. Walmart is helping customers discover products from thousands of small brands while giving founders opportunities to grow, reach new communities, and share the stories behind their businesses. By making it easier to discover these brands, Walmart helps connect customers with innovative products and the entrepreneurs whose passion, resilience, and creativity help bring them to market. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or a dream driver looking to be inspired, it's exciting to see more opportunities for small brands to be discovered. Visit Walmart.com to learn more about the small brands and founder stories available in your community.
What about 2017 then, when you were getting your preparations ready? How did you feel like you did under Michal, who's back there now, of course, with Galway, David?
Yeah, sure. Preparation, like Pat said there, you try and keep everything fairly straightforward and the same. I remember having a conversation with Michal coming down after the semi-final, that 1 point win over Tip.
Joe Canning.
Yeah, like just talking about the preparation, I suppose, getting bodies right then. Now, that time it was still the old system. The following year I went into the round robin, but I'd say we definitely had four weeks of a break, because I did get a knock on my knee and it gave me a few weeks to get it right for the final against Water. But just talking about this and that, and I was like, we'll just keep everything the same, don't. No, keep what we've been doing all year the same and all that kind of stuff in preparation. So personally then, on your own, that was it. It was just kind of getting fresh. I had a lot of work done that year, obviously, so I didn't train that much actually coming up to the final. And Joe often told a story going down, hitting the freeze on the Thursday actually before, or the Friday before the final, down, and we used to live in Oranmore, down to the pitch down there, and I just went in behind the goals, puck it out to him. But we were going home then, and I just kind of got a feeling of, not weakness, but I was like, geez, Joe, I need to go shop, I need a can of Coke or something, or a bit of sugar. And looking back on it now, I was kind of saying, it was nearly, you get a time before a big game like that, you say, yeah, I'm ready. It was not nerves, but like your mind, or you're getting that feeling that you're getting ready for this occasion, this game that's coming up. And that was kind of one thing that I ticked the box, and I was like, yes, I'm nearly ready for this game. And I didn't say, geez, I'm nervous, I'm bullying. I didn't think like that. So that was kind of personal preparation coming up to the game. Even watching up for the match the night before, all that kind of stuff, took that in because I'm a little bit more experienced. Probably wouldn't have done that in 12 or 15 coming up against Kilkenny, but that little bit older, more relaxed, took it in, got up that morning, and on the bus and up we went.
Did you prepare a speech?
I did. Done it after, in fairness, actually, in 16 when we played Tip, they beat us a pint. And we played them 3 years in a row. And know Brendan Maher fairly well. I sent him a text. I said, best luck in the final. And in fairness, the following year, he sent me a text back and he gave me a bit of advice about getting the speech done out of the way. And got that done that week. Gave one to my mother in the stand and one to Tex or Kitman, and that was it. I didn't have to think about it again. It was gone out of the way, and that allowed me for the next 3 weeks to focus on the game. And it was simple stuff. Like, in fairness, I remember Michal coming to me, setting Johnny, and there's not a lot you can say to Les nearly when you get over the line. Like, what can the management do in the 2 weeks? Tactical tweaks here and there, positional changes, but when lads are going well, you don't really want to overcomplicate it for them. And he said, look, Kevin Moore and Jane Barron, they're going really well midfield. Can we break even or just get a little bit higher? Don't win a bit more ball than them there. And that was it. There wasn't a whole pile else to it, and just get up and down the field. And that's all he said to us. And like, you don't overcomplicate these things. And the lads will say the same when you go back to games, that big games and them kind of things, you'll think back on that made it work.
And John, I think sometimes it sounds like it's very serious when we're talking about all these serious things too, but there's an incredible amount of development coming up to a final as well in terms of players amongst themselves. And like in 2018, we'll say, like, we were a young team, you know. Like, I could only liken it for someone that mightn't have been involved in something like that. It's a bit like the Leaving Cert, where, right, I have to study. I know the Leaving Cert is coming next week, but we all know what's coming when the final exam is over too. We are going to have a right bit of a crack. We're going to have a right summer, a right night out, maybe two nights out. That's there amongst the players too. And even, you know, there's a couple of single fellas, I think back, and this was great crack, a couple of single fellas, you know, they're handing out invites to the banquet on the Sunday night, and they're getting text messages back off women that they might not text them back for, you know, for months on end before. But now, of course, now because they're heading to the All-Ireland final and they have a plus one to bring with them, lads are in great form, they're getting plenty of messages back. So as serious as and all it is, the players amongst themselves, when maybe the management isn't looking, there's just an incredible buzz and divement and excitement. And I think for the first final, maybe more so even, you know.
Yeah. Because John Coddy spoke about music being a big part of the environment in Limerick. Was that something you remember?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think like you'd see that in a lot of places now. And even it was a very, 2018 was very like this summer now, in terms of it was very warm. Mm. Instead of bringing, it was so warm, let's say every Friday session or whatever we had, we started having the ice cream truck. There was a fella near to get it. It was wheeled in as well. And just good memories like that in terms of music after training, a bit of crack, ice creams, enjoying the summer, you know. Again, it all sounds so serious sometimes when you're in all these meetings, but and people always talk about like sacrifices, blah blah blah. Trust me, there's an awful lot more fun goes with it.
Yeah, because Conor Stakelham and Craig Morgan were in here after Tipperary won last year, and they were talking about, like, even in the parade, just having a bit of crack and just trying to enjoy it.
Yeah, well, you have to, like, you know, I suppose we started this chat talking about the Jubilee, and they both mentioned Michal and Caroline. I work with them, so I feel a bit younger here, men, so I do. But no, it's, you have to enjoy it. And I think I mentioned it there as a 19-year-old when I was saying that we had fun, we had laughs along the way. But Pat is right, like, do you know what I mean? There is the aftermath as well. You know it's coming. And that's why sometimes, like, you could even say to a lad, look, this is going to be better fun for a couple of days after it, if we win. And that's even a little motivation in itself, like, because we all know the aftermath of an Ireland when you lose, like, you know what I mean? It's you're facing your supporters and you're down and out and you don't want to be there, but you just do it because that's part of what you do as an intercounty player, the homecoming on the Monday. But you have to enjoy it, John. Like, you're but I think Pat mentioned there, the dressing room. The fun and the laughing and the crack that goes on in the dressing room, that's what you miss even when you retire as a player. If David misses the Galway dressing room, if you ask me, would you miss it? Yes, I definitely still miss the Tipperary dressing room. So when I meet up with my buddies there tonight now from that 2001 squad, and if some of them then were with us for the next 8 or 10 years, it's like you're back in the dressing room, having the laughs, throwing a joke at someone, throwing it back at you, you know. And that's the part that you look forward to, going training 3 or 4 nights a week. And like, I'm sure that's still in the dressing rooms. It definitely is. I've been in them recently. But even you look at COVID, a lot of club players probably came, togged out in the car, got back into the car, togged off and home. And sometimes that pattern is still there with some individuals. And that's the first thing I think a club manager, even at club level, tries to eradicate. Like, everyone togged out in the restroom. And you get the odd few that still do it. They come in the car, out they go, try on the boots, train, back into the car and gone. And you don't build that, yeah, that team environment like that. You know, you have to be together. You can't beat it.
That's funny, because there's a couple of clubs that you know, and they don't, maybe showers mightn't be the main thing that's working, or that. And he's right, the spirit is built in the dressing room before and after training, and you have the crack like that. And I'd often be thinking of this club here or there, and you know, if they're getting in the car to go home, they don't have that. And if they don't come in to train before, they don't have that either. So that's important to build in a team, no matter what you do, and they're important things to get right. So all them little things help definitely throughout.
We're talking to David Burke, Pat Ryan and Owen Keddie on the hurling final, folks, tomorrow, Limerick against Galway. 087-9180-180 is the WhatsApp number here on Off the Ball Saturday News Talk if you want to get involved. You know, you're playing in front of 80,000 people at Croke Park. What is that like for the person watching in the stand? And how are you trying to get yourself to your best in that environment?
I suppose the example I have in my head is a young player. We played Kilkenny in the 12 Leinster final and then the All-Ireland final, and I remember I played in it a few times in minor finals whatever as well, and then Joe gets the goal early on, and the roar in the stadium, like, and you'd all, I was like, Jesus, this is just,
I was behind the goal, so that was some goal, he just
ridiculous,
bust through, like, about four fellas,
and I was actually out the field. I was a good bit behind the play because I was winging forward with it out, and you'd be trying to talk to lads, maybe, you know, covering for a puck out or whatever, resetting, and you don't hear a thing, and you just think, this is the noise that's great in this type of stadium and All-Ireland final day. It's different to any other sport in the world, like. And semi-finals, yes, Cork might bring a big crowd to semi-final, but do you know what, if full house at an All-Ireland final, and when scores like that go up, and the adrenaline you get off a roar, and do you know, it just drives you on a little bit more to do something, and you could go on a little bit of run in that period in the game then as well. So they're the kind of things I think back on.
Big decisions, like, you look at a league match now, in a league match when it's not as big, if the ref hears the clash of hurley, it's a free. It's free, club hurling, it's a free all day long. Yeah. So you don't hear that clash in Croke Park.
No.
So if you swipe across somebody's hurley and you knock him off his rhythm out of possession, it's just play on. Whereas in a league match, the ref hears the clash at hurley, and when any refs hear clash at hurley, club or league matches, it's free. So them little small things, you nearly have to work into your, that look, you're going to get screwed here once or twice, just play on. Go for the break of ball again, like.
Yeah, you lose one of your senses, basically. So in 99% of games you'll ever play, you have all your senses. So if you're hearing, your eyes, your movement, and you can always hear a pass, basically, you know, from a teammate or where to go, that's gone out the window tomorrow. You can't do that. And I think something like a good example, you have to be better at using your vision to spot a pass. And I think the reason you see the likes of Noel McGrath getting man of the match in the 2019 All-Ireland final, Keane Lynch in 2021, is because their vision and their hurling brain is so good, their hurling IQ, that when they lose that sense, unlike some of the other players, they're able to make up for it. They don't have to hear a pass. They don't have to be told, I'm over here. They're just able to see it. So it's as mad as it sounds, it's harder hurl up there, but for the best players, I think it gets a small bit easier for them.
And then free taking as well. You did a lot of that when you were 19.
Yeah, I did, yeah. And do you know what's very funny? And I say this to people. I always found All Ireland final day way easier to take frees in the championship than any other day. Because you even look at the Hill 16, it's rammed, it's packed. So all when you look down, all you see is the posts. And that's what I used to see. Whereas All Ireland semi final day, maybe quarter final day, you'd see concrete.
Oh,
and
yeah,
the goals would be kind of nearly blended in with it. Like, so you'd have to take a double look. So there's little things like that. Park of Keefe used to be the same way. Munster final day, Cork. You'd see a red behind it, you just see the post. Like, so there is, you might think there are illusions, but, and that's what you're kind of telling yourself. So you're actually probably giving yourself positive affirmations like that, this is what I'm going to see, like, and it helps you, you know. So you're probably doing your own performance coaching, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I used to find All Ireland final day, even the slitter. I have one from the 19 All Ireland final. I was involved in the backroom team with Liam Sheedy at that, and there's actually no rims on the actual slitter, like, and you're just saying, I'd love to be hitting frees with this. Just yeah. funny. And I said,
but did you hit them lower? Did you often hit them lower in Croke Park? Then, or
yeah,
did you find
well,
the wind?
No, I'd always hit them lower, but in fairness, Kilkenny kind of copped onto that, and Michael Rice got to one of mine in the 2009 All-Ireland final. So, you know, little things like that, yeah. Everyone is analysing everybody, but just Pat and David, it brings something different, it brings something special. And the likes of Keane Lynch and Noel McGrath, you mentioned, like, you know, Carl Mannion is the same. And what do these players have when you look at them? It looks like they make the game slow down. They're actually so confident on the ball. They love having the ball. I think Declan Ryan was the same with us. He'd get the ball and he'd actually slow down with it. But he wouldn't be blocked or hooked or, you know, he'd make space for himself. And, like, there's only a small minority have that skill. Like, and the boys you mentioned, they'll come to the fore tomorrow, like Scott Mannion does, because Keane Lynch, they'll see it before anyone else sees it.
Before we go to the break here on our hurling panel, the moment when that whistle goes and you've won, the feeling you probably remember when you're a small young lad taking out the hurl at the backyard, and then you're there, and try maybe to describe what's going through your head when that happens and your emotions.
Yeah, I was tanked. I was gone with 4 minutes to go. I was on the line. I was shouting at me how to put this lad that way and that lad here, but no, I could, like, we obviously had that bit of a lead which helped a bit, because off water we were pushing for a goal, and the last few plays, I just remember we win a line ball, and I don't know if we take the line ball or not, and then the final whistle goes, and it's just that bit of emotion. You can feel the relief in the stadium nearly from that 29 years from the goal offence. There's no initial nearly roar straight away, because everyone probably is emotional in the stand. It's nearly a little bit, you know, the players are all getting out to each other, and then it starts to kick off a bit. Those are my memories of it anyway. And then obviously I'm getting around to all the players, my brother's there, Ian is on the subs with him, so, and you go to all the lads down through the years, like text the kit man, all them kind of lads, and then the management, and they're special times, them moments. All the players, the top players talked to, Dale always referenced those moments after big games that you win, and they're special, you can't take them away from any player, and they're things you look back on fondly. They might be 5 minutes long, 6 minutes long, they're not, Joe, and then there's the cup is presented out. But those moments when you're getting around to the players and you're saying, you're not saying anything, but you're looking at them and you're saying, geez, yeah, we done something special together, and you don't even need to say words to each other, do you know what I mean? That kind of a bond is there.
As you played in the COVID, you came on and was up against Waterford in just the silence. I was at the game myself in December of 2020.
Yeah, to go from even 18 when it was, you know, 45 years.
Yeah.
You know, and a full house, and it felt like you could hear the tears of happiness as much as you could hear the roars. To go from that, and then the disappointment of 19, where it was a semi-final, another big crowd, and we lose by a pint. You know, after winning by a pint the year before. And you hear that drain of your own crowd and Kilkenny crowd, Kilkenny lads beside you celebrating as you lay on the floor. And then the next year, then in December in COVID, and nobody's there, only the players. But I think what Dave said in terms of getting around and meeting the players, they're the most important, you know, the people you soldiered with for maybe 8-9 months, and that utter feeling of satisfaction. Yes, the 80,000 weren't there in 2020, but was it any less special? It wasn't, because it was still the fellas that you had went to war with. It was still the fellas you went to war with amongst yourselves in a training session down in a, you know, in a rough, dirty night, maybe November, December, January, and they were still there. Every one of us were still there, if you know what I mean, in that sense. So, yeah, a rollercoaster of emotions between those 3 years, you know, and the way it goes up along. And even Limerick, I think the final whistle, we see it at different games. Like last year with Tip, and it was a great win. you knew with 10 minutes to go the game is won.
The game is won.
Galway was so different. We were up in 2018 and then, you know, Joe had that free and it was just really far back. If it was another 10, 15 yards up, that was over the bar. And, you know, God knows what would have happened since then. It was a sliding doors moment. So, yeah, there's the emotions of it. A close game, I think there's even more of relief of maybe ecstasy in that sense than whereas maybe, no, there was a huge relief anyway when Tip won last year, but I think, you know, with 10 minutes to go, like we were lucky enough maybe in the 2021 final, same thing, where you could almost enjoy it and take it in, whereas 2018 you couldn't because you're thinking, Jesus, if anyone's going to put this over, Joe Henning could put it over, you know.
Yeah, 2001, then you're 19, so you're trying just getting around to your own age group, fellas, because, you know, you're all kind of something new, and it's brilliant, but you're not after experiencing any of the hardship, any of the days where you got sucker punches and you're knocked out of the championship, whereas when 2010, then, it was complete relief. You're after getting your hands on your second medal, then, like David there...
Was it about... Did Kilkenny's five in a row even come into it in your minds?
No.
It definitely did.
No.
They asked them the year before. They're stopping the best team of all time at the time going for five.
It's like a middle thing there for him. Like, and then you have the young lads coming in with you.
Yeah. So it was like, I'm now 28 in 2010. You're the captain. So instead of just 2001, you're hanging around with your own 19, 20 year olds. You go to your brother. My brother Paul was on the team as well, do you know? So, you know, you're kind of a bit, you're still a bit strange around fellas. Like, you're only young, like, do you know? And so, 2010, then you're after having the hardship of the year before. You know what the bad days are like, changing of managers every year, every 2 years. Where is this going? Will I ever even get to contest on our final again? And then you're the captain. So, kind of a minute after the final whistle, you're on duty again now. You have to deliver a speech, like, and it is a big deal. Mm. So, you have to be tuned in for that. And the next thing, then, I suppose, you're the captain, you're looking around, there's younger members of the panel, and you're nearly thanking them. Thank God that I'm 28 and this golden crop of Tipperary Minor team, 06-07, are now in our dressing room and they're driving the bus, like, do you know? So you're thankful and you have big appreciation of everything around you, like, you don't even really think of yourself in that scenario. But for me, it was a relief and a massive relief.
Owen Kelly, Pat Ryan and David Burke on the Saturday panel here with Apple Green on Hurling, the final tomorrow between Limerick and Galway. You want to WhatsApp as you can, 087-9180-180. Got to take a break here on Off the Ball Saturday News Talk. We are back after this.
Hurling on Off the Ball
with Apple Green, making every journey a winning one.
This is News Talk.
This is Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to five. The Saturday panel this week on Off the Ball is brought to you by Apple Green. Coffee, food and friendly faces are with you on the journey to Croker this Sunday. So we're continuing our preview of tomorrow's All-Ireland Senior Hurling Final between Galway and Limerick at Croke Park, with Galway's winning captain from 2017, David Burke, three-time All-Ireland winning forward with Limerick, Pat Ryan, and Tipperary's All-Ireland winning skipper from 2010, Owen Kelly. Owen, let's get into the game then. How do you see both teams setting up tactically, and what form it is they might employ tomorrow?
Yeah, it's interesting. Just to get my head around even this game, I look back at the league game that was last March, just to get an idea of it. And it's very interesting. We'll say, you know, the road that Garrod Hegarty has with the team, and Pat will tell you, is phenomenal. It can't be overstated. Even that night, it was 1:24-20, about 12 minutes to go, and Garrod came off. Okay, probably job done. Next thing, Galway kind of roared back into the game. So that target man for Nicky Quaid and his puckouts was gone. And it was very interesting even listening to the commentary. Marty said, I see John Kiley and Paul Kinnerick have called over Keane Lynch and Kyle Hayes here just to get them going, he was saying. But I don't think it was to get them going. I'd say it was to deliver tactically, we're going to change this up. And it looked like Limerick actually went man for man maybe in those last 12 minutes. So it gave Galway opportunities. But then listen to a couple of John's interviews afterwards, and I listened to him. He said how valuable a lesson that second half was. So he was really, it's like himself and Paul Kinnerick said, right, this Galway team are going to be thereabouts. It's like they had Leinster calculated in such a way as that we could see him down the road, that they used that second half. And he really said it was a valuable learning, that second half. Even Galway got 25 shots off. Limerick got 15 shots off. I'm going back to the league.
Yeah.
But I'd say the learnings they got from it, you will see them being put into place tomorrow in Croke Park on the biggest day of all. And for me, one of those learnings will be like, it's going to be on the pokeouts. I think it's going to come down to that. And I think Darragh Fahey is going to be under big pressure tomorrow to try and find his targets with Galway so that they can get their system of play up and running. You know, I just think they're really going to hound that down, go after that. And I think if you win that in this modern game, it's giving you a serious platform.
Just one thing Owen said there about, I wonder, did the management, you know, foresee Galway doing so well? I've no idea about the management, but I met one of the players the day after that game, and that's going back into mid-March now, right? And Galway, even though they had a good league, they'd still lost to Tipperary. I know they played well, still lost to Cork, still lost to Limerick, even though they played so well at night. I met one of the Limerick players that's playing tomorrow, and he said to me, I said, what do you make of that match yesterday? He goes, Galway are the real deal. And I goes, yeah. He said, yeah, they'll win Leinster. He said, they'll be in the business end of the championship this year, 100%, he said. So it's just interesting, I think, how valuable that is now. And some people always play down the league,
yes,
and think it's Mickey Mouse. It's far from it. You can be sure now, mm-hmm, the Limerick management have watched that game 3 or 4 times in the last two
right.
weeks.
Okay.
And even selections and different things. Like Adam English got the nod for this game, you know, at midfield. It was between himself and Darragh Donovan, you know. Adam English got 4 points in play that night in a game that it's out the middle of the field now. We'll see an awful lot of height. We'll see a high number of shots anyway. And we'll see a lot of fellas getting to shoot out the field. So he got 4 points that night. Maybe that's what's after getting him his place in the team. He wasn't down to start in the semi-final. He didn't start the Munster final.
Will and should Galway play the way they've been playing with almost like a counter-attacking team, Cathal Mannion back and maybe Jason Rabbit up there? Does Jason Rabbit need help now with this Mike Casey coming in now tomorrow? How do you see the best way for Galway to set up?
Yeah, I suppose go to Jason first. I think I would have spoke about coming up to the Cork game. Even though we did quite well in the Dublin game, to beat Cork, I felt he definitely needed support. And we probably got a little bit more of the forwards running up into that space with him. Darren Eary, Tom Mann. So, yes, he's isolated a bit, but I felt we were definitely getting into them pockets behind the Cork half backline a good bit. Do I foresee the same thing happening? Limerick aren't going to let the level of those shots get away, so we're going to have to find the space a bit more, take on maybe wider shots, which would be more difficult. And we know if you're hitting from the sideline or further out, they're going to be harder to get over the bar. That's one thing. So we definitely need the lads to get up the field to support J.O. But he's doing quite well. Mike Casey is a different kettle of fish. He's so good on high ball for a small man. Like, he's physically really strong, Mike Casey. He's not that tall, but he's so good at breaking the ball, whether that's going through the two of them and in behind to Nicky in the goals, or breaking out to Kyle coming back, or Will Dunne coming back, he's very good at that. Back to Cathal, I think the game is set up for Cathal, really, because Limerick play a zone half back line. I often find playing against them in the middle, you get on a bit of ball there, because they're not going to go that far out the field. I think Limerick's mantra is, we're not conceding goals this year. That's what set them up to be the team there this year. They went back to basics, defending the D, and I think it's a game for Cathal. Yes, he's back to field. I think when he's back there, we're getting a chance to stay in the games, and people would like him further off the field. As Pat said there, he got an All-Star last year from all the scoring he did. Yes, he can do that, but his ability to control a game and evade a tackler is so good. It gives the team a chance to get up the field and attack as well. So yes, it's important. I think playing him back there early on is key, because we need to stay in the game, and then maybe you'll see a tactical slide of pushing him further up the field then, maybe, as the game goes on.
What about you then, Pat, when you're thinking of the best route for Limerick to win this game in terms of tactics, matchups, and getting Galway into a place where they don't want to be?
Yeah, look, if anyone that watched the semi-final between Galway and Cork could only be really impressed with Galway. You know, they were absolutely brilliant to put up that big score, to keep I know Cork have had their own problems, but to keep a team like Cork to such a low score again in the second half. I know people say that's Cork's fault, but that doesn't happen by accident. That happens because Galway were that good too, you know. There's a few things now. Like, I expect Galway to start really well, because I think Limerick will sit that bit. They just straight away, it'll be like Dermot Burns, Kyle Hayes, they're not going to just run out the field when the ball's turning. They're not running out the field following Tom Monaghan up the field, following Darren Eary up the field. They're going to sit a small bit. So I do foresee, I think Galway will get a lot of ball at the start. I think they'll get a lot of shots off. I think small things, lads, that won't even be noticed, is like the weather we're having at the moment is completely suits a team to shoot out the field. If you go down to the field now and you puck a few balls when the weather is this dry and a new ball is this hot, this heat now, it does travel further and faster. So what does, you know, Tom Monaghan, Cathal Mannion, Neary, Gavin Lee, all these lads are shooting out the field. So I do think Galway will start quite well. I think Galway will go into a bit of a lead, even though Limerick have a great, over the finals they've been in, over the last five finals they've been in, they've started quite well. I think Galway will start well in this final. I think Galway will get into a bit of a lead, get a few of these shots off. I think it'll be up to Limerick's maybe 8 to 15, especially 10 to 15. They'll be tested this week. You have to get out and tackle from behind. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. The boys have their job to do back here. You have to get out and tackle from behind. We always had, there was a mantra in Limerick, number 13, you better help number 10. Number 10, you better come back and help 9. 9, you better come back and help number 5. 5, you better help number 2. So that's, I see that happening where Galway will start well. I think they get their shots off. Like I said, even the weather, as some people listening might think that's quite stupid, I think the long shooting will go well for them. But eventually, I think Limerick will break them down. I think keeping that shape, I think we'll win the majority of their puckouts. It's just because we have such an incredible half back line, really, of Burns, Willem O'Donoghue, Kyle Hayes. The boys have said, I don't think we'll concede that much goals with what we have back there either. So I think Galway will start well. We'll get into our flow.
Is it the physicality that'll wear them down? Is it the Canucks coaching? What'll wear them down if they are going to wear them
down? Well, you know as well, I'm played against, would say the backs are playing tomorrow in training, but that size of backs, when you're not winning ball, when your own puckouts are going on the field along, and you can't go short with every puckout, so puckouts will go along, and especially Paul Canurk even not admitted it, but said himself one time, tactics are kind of there for 60 minutes in a game. That last 5 or 10 minutes is just chaos. So, and it's a team like Limerick then that are able to dominate and win their own primary position, like Grohe Hegarty last day. That was the difference maker. There was no tactic there in Grohe Hegarty in the puckouts last time. It was old school Ger Hegarty style, his father, that won a minor in 84, long down on top of the big man, and can the big man win it? And he did. Do you know? So,
when the Limerick lads go back to the field and there's 11 or 12 of them, and when you're analysing on the Sunday game, the Sunday night, 11 or 12 of them, there's 10 of them that are probably 6 foot two, 6 foot three plus, like. So that is an unbelievable difference instead of having a smaller guy back there. And like, I even remember back to the 2021 Munster final, Tipperary 10 points up at half time. I think Pat, you played that day. But Jason Ford had 6 points in play off Declan Hannan. But Declan Hannan rocks out for the second half. Any other manager would have him changed. But all that happened was the two Limerick midfielders sat back 5 or 10 yards, half forward line came back another 5 or 10 yards, and then that physicality took over. So probably part of the tactical side with Limerick is, how can we get these big men in around the area where the ball is going to be? And 9 times out of 10, they're winning that breaking ball, they're winning that middle third, and off you go then. Ball is going only one way.
It's battle of shape, like I often find against Limerick, because they want that. The 2023 one, I was doing water, I was injured, and we were actually up at half time doing really well in our own puck outs, stretching them, getting the double ups like Cork would do, similar stuff on. But second half, like that, Limerick just sit off another 12, 13, 14 yards. Jim Byrne sits back into the 45, puts a bottle of water down the sideline as if to say, I'll be 10 yards from you for the second half, because water carriers can't get in. And I was like, we just couldn't get around them then. They just completely set off. They said, if you want to go short up there, work up the field, it's like when they struggle, they'd say, no, we'll come back even more and sit off and let you score from out the field if you want.
It cuts off the oxygen to forwards. If forwards can't get possession, and if they, you know, if they don't actually have a high possession count, what can you do? You can't do anything if you don't have the ball. So it's so hard to get the ball high up the field against Limerick, because the six of them will stay where they are. They won't get dragged away, and like that, physically imposing and good in the air, they're just usually, more often than not, they're going to win the majority of that long high ball that's coming.
How do they get the trust in that though? Like, how, like, I know they're not going to point fingers when there's goals going in, but like, that takes huge level of trust. Like,
yeah, I'm sure. Look, you've so many fellas now playing together for so long. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but there must be 13 or 14 fellas are involved since the 18 final. Do you know, and so many days going out and so many days working together, they know what they can do. And I think even you look back at the Munster final and All-Ireland semi-final this year for reference points, 69 minutes gone in both games, they were 2 points down in both games, and they won both games. Now, you don't want that to happen Sunday, because you might keep getting away with that. But it's still, when you go back into dressing room that night, you say, look at that, we still got there. They thought they had us kind of a team, but we still got there.
The worrying thing with Limerick looking on, the last couple of games, they've only conceded to Clare, was 1-3 in the second half. Something very similar to Cork, maybe even in the Munster final and that. And they're just winning a game by a point or two. If that was 5-6 years ago, Limerick would have won that game 8-10 points.
They're not hitting the 30 points if that's the magic number, as much as they used to.
Probably not, yeah. But still, the know-how, the experience, and grinding out those games, I'd say they must be taking serious satisfaction out of that.
But the argument for, I know you talk about the podcast there, Owen, but the argument for Galway is?
The argument for Galway, I suppose, is they need goals. I think a couple of goals would really rock even one of Limerick's pillars. So Limerick's pillar we're listening to it there is defensively, and defensively this year they've been brilliant. But you know, even early in the game, if you can get in and get a goal or two, you're totally dismantling their trail of thought, as in, like, one of our pillars is not conceding goals. And I even saw that myself with 2010 against Kilkenny. The thing there was that, look, get to the last 5 minutes with Kilkenny and you hit him going down the home stretch. But we were coached, no, attack him from the off. you know, and I remember that day we were 1-4 to a pint up straight away, and goals were on our mind, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it was actually really go for the goal. So I think Galway needs two goals at a minimum to win this game tomorrow.
A strange moment to goals. It's people like random stats. Here's one for you now. Every final since the 17 final where Kevin Moran got the goal into the Hill, the first goal in every final since has been scored into the Devon End.
Right.
So we'll see tomorrow now who's playing into the Devon End first. Will it continue on since nearly 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah. Mm. So looking through the ages of the Galway players, I mean, they're 3 years younger, the average of the 15, David Burke. So Joshua Ryan, 22, Killian Traers, 20. Then you have the midfielders are both 23 years of age, Tiernan Killeen and Gavin Lee. And then you've got the experiences we've talked about. But Darren Neary, 21, Jason Rabbit, 19, and Aaron Nyland, 19. So there's the expectation of the day, as Owen has spoken about, as a young player. But then there's that freedom as well. And a lot of these names could become household names by tomorrow.
Yeah, I sat down before the Kilkenny first group game and I added up to 26 average ages, and we were 24.8 or something like that, and Kilkenny were 27 point something. No, they had a few young lads as well, but it is interesting. Like, on that day we played them, the likes of Rory Burke and Aaron Ireland got the goals. And look, Micheál, like any player, when you come in, you're a young lad, you're not that you're looking over your shoulder. When a manager shows faith in you, and I remember this when I came in 2010, might have started in midfield. Look, you might have a bad game the first day or the second day, but we're going to stick with you in this position. It gives you a good boost, you know, going around the place, even go back into training. So you know they have your back and you have that faith in them. So I think that has helped young lads as well this year. Even Killian Traers at the back, some days in some of the big league games, he might have struggled here and there. Even in the Dublin game in Salt Hill, you know, got caught once or twice, but they stuck with him, and the last they just showed their fate, putting him onto Brian Hayes. Yes, the ball mightn't have been great going into Brian Hayes in the second half, but he definitely nullified him that bit more. So me all having them faith in them young lads, you know, is huge. And they've been successful at minor and whatever, not just, we didn't win under 20 this year against Clare, but they've been experiencing those big games the last couple of years, which has stood to them as well.
Micheál seems to have it, whatever it is. What is it, if you can distill
it? There's a good few people asked me that this week. What does he bring to the table? He's very good for getting a good team around him, I suppose. That's the first thing. He's always adding to it if he can. If there's anyone he thinks that can add value to the group, he'll do that. Like Kylie, like any good manager, you're going to bring in someone that can add something to the group. You're not going to just do for the sake of it. And he let those people do the jobs that they're brought in to do. Very good then at communicating with the players, whether that's one-on-one, whatever the role might be, and that's going right down to the endless list of 36 players or whatever you might have on now, 40 players. He'll find a way to motivate them, even if they're not going to be in the 26. He'll find some snippet to get them going for training or training match to say they might have a chance. That was the biggest thing I found in 16, 17, 18, was the level of stuff you're getting in training. The lads allude to that as well. When they're successful, you'll go back to maybe a training match that might have happened prior to the semi-final or final and say, yeah, everyone's on it here. They're all going the same direction. So he's good at doing that. Even the likes of Connor, his role is coming on. No doubt, Micheál would have been chatting with him at the start of the year. This is what I want you doing this year.
Connor Whelan.
Do you know Connor Cooney?
Sorry, Connor Cooney. Sorry, yeah.
Stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? So he's good at getting the roles right, knowing what he wants the players to do. And then obviously he's so good at communicating with the supporters, getting them on their side, and good at communicating with the players to how to get the supporters on your side. I found him very good at that with me, in terms of how you're communicating them, whether it's in interviews with the radio or whatever after games. So he's quite good at that, and bringing all that together, then you're creating that spirit in the group. And look, I think there he's a couple of good traits that he brings as a manager.
And John Kiely and Paul Kirk, not much left to be said really about them, I suppose.
No, to be honest, everything he said about Micheál earlier, you could say about John.
Yeah.
Realistically, you know what I mean? And I wouldn't know Micheál, but when we won in 2018, he came into the dressing room, and so many fellas, that's customary, you know, for managers to go into the dressing room and talk to him. So many of our players spoke about it afterwards, how he just came across so well, and he spoke so well, especially after the heartbreaking loss, you know, by a pint. He just spoke really well, and one thing that stuck on us, even, you know, just as a human person, he said, please lads, we might have been a small bit guilty of at times, as in worrying about next year after 2017. He said, if you leave you one bit of advice, he said, do not worry about next year until the 1st of January, he said. Do you know, in terms of really enjoy this up till then, and we really took his advice and we really did enjoy it.
Verdict time here on the Saturday panel, and Pat Ryan, David Burke and Owen Kelly on the hurling final, 3:30 throw-in tomorrow, Limerick against Galway. Are the heart and the head of line, Pat Ryan, do you believe you're going to reclaim that All-Ireland title you last won 2023?
They are. Even though I do think we definitely have the two best teams in the country in the final.
Right.
I think Galway are that good. I think they're, you know, can Galway win? Of course they can. You know, any team that can play like that in a semi-final, and the big score they put up in the Leinster final as well, for, you know, they've hit over 30 points easily the last two games in Croke Park as well, by the way, place where they had struggled before. That's gone now with these young players. That's completely gone. So I do think they'll start really well. I think it'll be a really hard game. I think they'll be winning the game for 20-30 minutes. I just think Limerick will get used to that system of Galway's, if you want to take it that way. I think Limerick will start pinging the ball around each other. I think we have the scorers out the field. That Cork didn't score out the field, for example, in the semi-final, nor the Dublin Leinster final. I think we have Dermot Burns, Grod Hegarty can score from distance, Adam English, Keane Lynch, Cahal O'Neill, you know, he got 1-6 in that league game. He's comfortable to shoot from anywhere. And I just think after Galway starting really well and being ahead, I think we'll reel him in, and I just think we get better as the game goes on. And it's the first chance. Limerick have only ever done it once in their history in terms of winning a minor and senior All-Ireland in 1 year in 1940. So I know Tip and Galway both done it in the last 10 years. I think in 17 they won the minor, didn't they?
Yeah.
And the senior, and same with Tip in 16. So this would be a huge, huge year for Limerick if we could win the minor and senior All-Ireland in 1 year.
David Burke, are the heart and head aligned for you, Galway?
I think so, yeah. Look, I think Limerick are a smidgen off, yes, their performances aren't unbelievable, do you know what I mean, that we were so accustomed to, which gives me hope for Galway, because, let's say, Aaron Gillan, who we think could have a big game, which he's capable of doing, he hasn't been playing well. They're going to need a huge game from Keane Lynch and their half-back line if they're going to, you know, dominate us. So I think we have a chance. It's key for us to stay in the game, and I think if we can bring them down the home stretch, I think we have a chance. I think we have a great chance, because not everyone's saying we have the legs. I just think the further into the game we're with them, I think the belief or the self-belief in the players gets better. And you know that in any game you play yourself, the more you get to the final whistle and you're still with a team that you think is supposed to be beating you, it gives you hope, it gives you a chance. So I think that's key. I know it's going to be harder said than done, and keeping the likes of these lads who are Hurler of the Year, Keane Lynch's, Jim Burns, Gillan, to keep them quiet is going to be a awful task in itself. But I think this group is up to it, and the likes of the Conor Whelans and Dahis and Cathal Mannions are playing well. You know, they are playing really well, and that's good, and I hope that they can put another performance again tomorrow.
Owen Kelly, the neutral corner, you got the last word on Jubilee weekend for Tipperary's. Owen Kelly, 45 seconds, who's going to win it tomorrow and why?
Look, I fully believe Galway's system of play is going to keep them in the game. They have, a bit like Tipperary last year, they've all earned the medals on that bus going in. My worry is that they had too easy in the Leinster final, too easy probably in the All-Ireland semi-final. I couldn't see Limerick sneaking the last day against Clare, and they did. So that crunch time, that those big plays, big moments, just think Limerick will just have been through more of that bear pit this year between the Munster Championship and the All-Ireland semi-final. That'll get them over the line.
Enjoy the Jubilee celebrations tomorrow, Owen Kelly.
Thanks, John.
And Pat Ryan and Dave Burke. All I can say is fingers crossed you both. May the best team win and enjoy the next 24.
You didn't give your prediction, John.
No, I didn't. For once in my life, I'm not going to give a prediction on the radio about a sporting event. So I'm going to stick in the neutral corner. And lads, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, John.
Oh, thanks, lads.
That was the Apple Green panel on hurling, the All Ireland Senior Hurling Final. Here on Off the Ball Saturday. The match throws in 3:30 tomorrow between Limerick and Galway. This is Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk. We have got Football Saturday and the World Cup final with Andy Townsend, Owen Doyle and Johnny Ward to come between 3 and 5. Hope to have your company after the news.
Hurling on Off the Ball
with Apple Green, making every journey a winning one.
This is News Talk.